From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, he continues a message called Samuel, the Last of the Judges, part of this series in the Book of Judges. Samuel's ministry formed a bridge between Israel as a theocracy and then as a monarchy. His mother Hannah dedicated him to the Lord before he was born, and she fulfilled her oath to give him to God by handing him over to the high priest Eli to be brought up in the tabernacle. Dr. Cairns placed great emphasis upon the blessing and importance of godly mothers and fathers in the lives of their children. It is vital that the very atmosphere of our homes should be motivated by the Word of God if we would see our children saved and living for the Lord as they mature. Salvation cannot be inherited, and so it is imperative to teach our children the gospel, both by word and by example. Samuel's spiritual ministry started in his youth. He labored for many years before he saw the nation brought into revival, reminding us of the need for faithfulness in God's work. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
Today's text is in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. Perfect in Christ Jesus. Do you not feel in your own soul that perfection is not in you? Does not every day teach you that? Every tear which trickles from your eye weeps imperfection. Every sigh which bursts from your heart cries imperfection. Every harsh word which proceeds from your lips mutters imperfection. You have too frequently had a view of your own heart to dream for a moment of any perfection in yourself. But amidst this sad consciousness of imperfection, here is comfort for you. You are perfect in Christ Jesus. In God's sight, you are complete in Him. Even now you are accepted in the Beloved. But there is a second perfection yet to be realized, which is sure to all the seed. Is it not delightful to look forward to the time when every stain of sin shall be removed from the believer, and he shall be presented faultless before the throne, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing? The Church of Christ then will be so pure that not even the eye of omniscience will see a spot or blemish in her, so holy and so glorious that heart did not go beyond the truth when he said, With my Savior's garments on, holy as the Holy One. Then shall we know and taste and feel the happiness of this vast but short sentence, complete in Christ. Not till then shall we fully comprehend the heights and depths of the salvation of Jesus. Doth not thy heart leap for joy at the thought of it? Black as thou art, thou shalt be white one day. Filthy as thou art, thou shalt be clean. Oh, it is a marvelous salvation, this. Christ takes a worm and transforms it into an angel. Christ takes a black and deformed thing and makes it clean and matchless in his glory, peerless in his beauty, and fit to be the companion of seraphs. Oh, my soul, stand and admire this blessed truth of perfection in Christ.
My own and foolish pride.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to be born a man? Why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And what's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such questions. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. But we're also pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 20th century Christian. You may have a copy of the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
I think in so many Christian homes nowadays, the atmosphere is the atmosphere of Hollywood. The atmosphere is created by the television. The atmosphere is the atmosphere, therefore, of the world and the values of the world. And the Bible gets a little look in, and we think we are super spiritual. If there's a 5-minute segment in the day where we read a psalm, and we say a prayer, my, what giants we are! Rather, what downright miserable hypocrites we are! It is the scripture that is to give the whole atmosphere to a home. That's the Bible standard. And I want to tell you, that is the only preparation for life that you can give your children that will stand them in good stead in the days to come. You may make sure of their education, They can use even a Christian education to turn out rebels and go to hell. They can even take a Sunday school education and twist it to the service of the devil. There's nothing to take the place of this preparation, the like of which Samuel had. A word about his illumination. We read tonight in verse 7 of chapter 3, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now I want you to get the picture. Samuel was born into a godly home. He had a good father and a gem of a mother. Samuel was dedicated to the Lord. Samuel was reared in the tabernacle. He was taught the word of God. That's the whole purpose of him being under the tutelage of Eli. He was taught the word of God. He was shown the operation of the house of God. He actually got to work in the tabernacle. And despite it all, he knew not the Lord. You see, your dedication of your children doesn't save them. Your preparation of your children doesn't save them. Those are vital things. But never, never lose the vision of their salvation. Never lose the burden to lift them up before God and cry that God will illuminate their hearts and minds and save their immortal souls. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight as a young person. You can say, "Preacher, I'm just like Samuel. God has given me a godly father and a godly mother. They have prayed for me. They have surrounded me with the atmosphere of God's word. I know the truth of the scriptures. I've been here under the sound of the gospel, but yet I know not the Lord." Let me speak particularly to you with a Christian home in your background. Are you here with a Christian father and a Christian mother and a Christian home and a Christian heritage, but an infidel soul within you, an unbelieving heart within you, unforgiven sin upon your conscience, and your feet yet treading the broad road that leads to a Christless eternity? You yet know not the Lord. Your Christian parents can't save you. Your Christian upbringing in itself can't save you. And tonight you need, as Samuel, to come to the place where you do business personally with God. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. John Douglas's children were taught to pray. I was greatly taken with this. We met around the family altar. They were taught to pray, "Lord, give me Samuel's ears." I thought that was an intelligent prayer. Lord, give me Samuel's ears. If you're in this meeting tonight without Christ, the voice that speaks to your heart is not the voice of this puny preacher. It is the voice of Samuel's God and your God. And he calls you by your name. He calls Samuel. Samuel. Four times he came, awakening him, calling him. I believe there are young people in this meeting tonight It's not just that God has called you four times, but scores of times, again and again, He has spoken to your heart. Like Eli, I would instruct you tonight. Respond, speak, Lord. My heart is open. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And then his ministration. That's a good word. It speaks actually of a religious ministry, a spiritual ministry. It started as a boy. I'm glad of that. The Lord can use kids. You don't have to wait till you're an old man to serve the Lord. In fact, I think that it's right that we place emphasis in calling for people for full-time service to call the young before the devil gets his hands on them, soils their lives. I have met with people who would love to be in the Christian ministry. They would love to be in the front line of Christian service. But the devil so fouled up their lives that even though their sins have been forgiven, there are so many things in their past that they feel they could never be in the forefront of a Christian ministry. I met with a young man. This was his broken-hearted plea. Can I not get into the work of God? But by his folly, he had been led into a marriage that was worldly and wicked and ended up in divorce, and the door was shut. Now there's forgiveness and there's usefulness for him. He can still serve the Lord. It's not the unpardonable sin. But he cannot serve the Lord in the capacity that he desired to serve the Lord. How much better when the Lord gets his hands on a young fellow before the devil ever gets to mess up his life like that and put such scars upon him that he'll never recover fully. And certainly not say to go into the ministry or mission work or whatever. So it's good that we call young people to the Lord. I don't despise the service of children. If there's a little boy, a little girl in this meeting tonight, you may only be 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and your heart loves Christ, and there's a stirring in your soul, and you're saying, when I grow up, I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't despise that. You young children, then you give your hearts to the Lord. You tell the Savior that, and keep on telling the Savior that. And as you grow up, keep that ever in your heart and in your mind, and let the Lord lead you on. I well remember as a boy, when God first stirred my soul about Christian service, I had never a desire to be a preacher, but I can well remember reading the stories of great missionaries. And my heart was stirred and I yearned for the day when I would be old enough that I could go to the mission field and I could serve the Lord Jesus. And I don't believe for a moment that those were wasted feelings or merely fleshly feelings. I believe that God was working in a heart while it was still young and tender enough, and preparing for the service of God. He started as a boy. When he came to age to go out and serve, he did so with total integrity and utter honesty. I admire what he did when God gave him the message for Eli. There's very few preachers today would have the guts to do what Samuel did, even as a young man. When Eli said, what did the Lord tell you? He told him every whit. He didn't water down the message. You know, across America, we have preachers of many years standing, and they don't have the backbone to get up and tell their congregation the truth of God as it is. They tamper with the message. They sugarcoat the message. They put such drapery around the message that it's nearly impossible to get to the truth. Samuel, from the very beginning, was a man of integrity and honesty. His job was to call Israel to repentance. One leading commentator believes that his first work was to start out, when the ark was still in the hands of the Philistines, to start out among the 48 cities of the Levites, and probably unable to do them all by himself, to begin to galvanize these Levites into action and the priests into action and get them out. I think that while the scripture doesn't spell that out, when you look at the whole scenario, there is good reason to believe that that's where he would have started. His job was to get out there among God's people who were backslidden and call them to repentance. You know, if we can ever get a real spiritual movement among God's people, it'll not be long until it reaches the unsee of people. But while people are sitting, sleeping in the church, you'll not get a great awakening among the ungodly. While Christians don't pray, you're not going to find the ungodly getting down on their knees and praying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But when you get God's people wakened up, when you get them called to repentance, when you get Christians starting praying instead of playing, when you get Christians who are in dead earnest about the things of God, then we can begin to look for God to deal mightily through those same Christians, even with the unsaved. Samuel's job was to call Israel to repentance, and he did. Indeed, when they began to lament after the Lord, he said, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. That was his job. And he saw great fruit. After 20 long, hard years, when there seemed to have been little done, Samuel saw God work and bring revival. Those 20 years, you know, represent the experience of all of us in the work of God. It would be great, wouldn't it? At least we think it would be great. As soon as you get out into the work of God, you just click your fingers and suddenly we're in revival. It doesn't work that way. 20 years. Indeed, in chapter 7 we read the time was long. It seemed to drag. But during those years, Samuel was working, plodding, praying, and leaving the timing of a great awakening to the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.